Well, Lord, I thank you so much for your loving kindness and your grace and your mercy upon even people who don't believe, Lord. Father, I just praise you and I glorify you for all the things that are fixing to take place again throughout this world and all the people that are going to see your glory through the restoration of their bodies, through the restoration of their minds, and through the restoration of their spirit. And Father, I just praise you and I glorify you for what you're fixing to do in your people, in this group of people right here, Lord. I know there's going to be signs and wonders falling everywhere they go. Not only that, Lord, that the power from on high is going to be so awesome that there's going to be a lot of people saved because of it. A lot of people healed, a lot of people delivered from the grasps of Satan, a lot of addictions delivered. Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for your wonderful Holy Spirit that leads us into those situations to where you'll just testify to them of your greatness, even though they may or may not believe. Sometimes they want to believe, and when they see it, Lord, they will. And I thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do. All that you're going to do and all that you've already done in our lives. Father, just bless us tonight with your holy word and let your revelations come forth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless the people here. Bless my brothers and sisters, Lord, in an awesome way. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, my God. Three people waiting in the room out there. Okay. Do we have any prayer requests? Yes, Andrew.
Well, something happened on Sunday. I phoned my daughter, and she confided in me, and she said she wasn't a Christian. And it was a shocker to me. And she was crying when she was saying it. She said that she really wanted to tell me this a long time ago. You know? And I said, it took you 27 years to tell me this? And I told her, you know, that the fear that you had for me wasn't for me, you know, it's for the Lord, you know. I told her a long time ago that I was only her practice dad. She has a father in heaven. I told her I still loved her and that I can't judge her. I got to judge her by grace. I asked her some questions. Because, you know, her husband, his name is Zach, was a worship leader in a church. And I said, well, what about, you know, Zach, you know? And they said, well, you don't really go to church anymore. And she told me also, I asked her about, like, well, what about the music? You know, he showed me some nice music that he likes to listen to, United Pursuit, that group there. And she just said, well, he just likes that music. And, you know, I guess I was in a place where I really thought that there was a big change there, but there really wasn't. I don't know what happened, but I did thank the Lord that he showed me this so that I could know. I don't know, because they would always say that I would be preaching to them. And well, that's what she said, you know, that I'm always preaching to her. And and I just told her, you know, you don't use me for an example for Christianity. You know, you can't use another person to as an example for all the Christian faith that's out there. I tried to think of something to say because, you know, she is my daughter and I do love her. And but I did say, you know, that the fear you had was supposed to be directed toward the God, the Father. Since she seemed very interested still about the grace that I spoke of, you know, that I can't judge you. I can't judge you by law. I have to judge you by grace. So I did seem to sense a little bit of opening. But she's also doing something else. You know, she went to school to be a vet tech. And she says she can't do that job anymore. It's too stressful. And she's taking some teaching courses. I've already prayed about this, so I'm asking for prayer for myself because of the sadness that I'm going through. And you know, I'm a divorced person, so I didn't really get to be around my children very much. And especially during high school, that's when they start being teenagers. It was a shocker to me, because even at the proposal and a few times when the guy came here, when Zachary came here, asking for my daughter's hand in marriage, you know, he knew scripture verses and everything. You know, I don't want to say he's not a Christian, but he knew how to play the part. He knows a lot of stuff. So I guess they're pretty well matched then, if that's it, you know, because I asked her about how this, you know, would. About her husband, of course. And I don't know what's going on there. So, you know, I was always had this feeling inside of me about there's something not right here. And I don't know what it is, other than she was too afraid to talk to me. And I just said to her, you know, what I said, you know, I'm not the example that you should follow, you know. And so it's a great sadness for me that happened. And I prayed it down. I prayed against what she's taking now. Is she's gonna she's going for that yoga teaching. She's taken courses online for that, and I prayed against that because I know that is the Eastern religions. And her mother's into that too. So she just doesn't want to have no relationship with me. She wants to still talk to me and still be around me. And so tomorrow I'll probably give her another phone call because she's working nights. just to settle it with her that everything's still okay on my part, even though that sort of came to me. It was a shocker because they seem, well, maybe it wasn't that shocking, but you know, I just thought that they were these very nominal Christians, you know. Anyway, so I'd like prayer for some strength and pray for my, well, the feelings I'm having. Other than that, I just want to be strengthened by the Lord. Because out of all the people, you know, I thought that I know in my family, I thought that she was the closest, you know, to being anywhere near the Lord. And that's it. And, you know, it's still my son too. You know, he's got himself a new girlfriend now, and I don't know what he's up to. And it turns out that it's from the same line of friends that, I was sort of thinking that maybe this might be a girl who also has some sort of Christian background, but I don't know. You know, how do you be a worship leader in church and not see through whatever, you know? I really thought that, you know, because they would go to Christian concerts and stuff too. And I don't know what's going on there. It's just, there must be some sort of blockage or something. So I did pray about it. And I did try to also pray about casting down that yoga thing. So, I guess I really feel a lot more alone now. You know. But I'll keep having faith for her, and I'll keep it in the Lord's hands where it's supposed to be. It's just, you know, I guess I had these delusions of grandeur in my head about what was going on here. And I've heard some testimonies here of people going through the same things with their loved ones, and I just, you know, it was shocking. And so I need prayer for uplifting, for joy, for happiness, for get out of this stump here that I'm in.
Well, let's pray. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that oppression off of Andrew right now in Jesus' name. That depressive spirit, that heaviness, you go. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you that he knows the word of God, that he does have household salvation. She's part of his household. She's coming in. And Lord, I know that throughout so-called Christendom, that I think we would all be surprised at the people that are in the music industry that aren't Christians. And Father, we just thank you that his family is, though, because he's a believer and he believes what your word says, Father. And we thank you that his daughter, son-in-law, and all of his family is coming into the kingdom, yoga or no yoga. That yoga's got to go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for placing joy, peace, and rest in Andrew's heart for his family. Because you're in charge. You've got him and his family in your hands, Lord. And we praise you so much, Father, for the work that you're doing right now in their hearts, Lord. Sometimes it has to take them, you have to take them to a place where they look up to you, Lord. And we all know this. But Lord, we thank you for the joy that you're placing into Andrew right now. Fill him, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, Father, fill him up so much so that all that heaviness and oppression has to go in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for what you're doing right now in Andrew's heart and his spirit in Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Missy, did you have something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Andrew, you know, listening to you, I can understand, I can sympathize with you. But on the other hand, that took a lot for her to tell you that. And that was a good thing. Most people.
I thank the Lord for that, actually. Yeah,
a lot of people, there's a lot of people who consider themselves Christians, and they don't know that they're not Christians. So, and now you have, now that you know where she's at, you know better how to pray for her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Father, I just ask you, she was upset. She was concerned about telling her dad where she was at. But Lord, turn that around and show and put in her heart to cry to her Heavenly Father, yeah, and be able to admit to Him and put it in her heart, put in a desire to want to have a relationship with you. Lord, I just ask you to show Andrew all the positives of this, Lord, because, you know, I always say half the battle is being able to admit it, and that's a good thing. So Lord, we just praise you and thank you for this, and knowing, Lord, that your promise of household salvation, like Michael's already said, and that every one of Andrew's children and his son-in-law, they're coming into the kingdom, and all this family. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, Andrew, you know, this is just like, it's just, there's so much going on right now. This is just like so timely. She's not going to be in that state for very long, because the Lord's about ready to do some things big time, and a lot of people are going to be saying, you know, oh wow, I do need God, because they're going to be crying out to Him, you know. So,
yeah, some of those thoughts did come to my mind, actually, because that happened on Sunday. Well, I believe everything these guys said, and I'm thanking the Lord already for everything, that it's all done and taken care of. After all, he's the one who has to call them and draw them. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise you, Lord, for that day when I have finally gonna hear my daughter praise God and love the Lord, and just like I see a lot of other kids do. And they're praising God in those videos from people in song. And praise God. Thank you, Lord, for her day of salvation. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, Andrew, I was. I have to agree with Missy, Melissa. When you were saying that was exactly what I was thinking, is that number one, that when she came and admitted it, it was so much more important that she was finally seeing it within herself, and that God is separating is going to be and is in the process of separating many people from the structure now. And he's raising up a dividing line, so it's clearer and clearer to see the difference between heaven and hell and the promises and the lies. And so this is a good thing, for sure it's a good thing. And it's a time to be encouraged. And the thing that hit me is that she and probably her husband are they're turning away from that system, even though they probably don't see it. They see themselves as turning away from God, but they're turning away because they haven't seen the real God, and they haven't been able to look past the flesh and to see the real Jesus. And that's not a put down on you, or a put down on any of us. It's the fact that there is such a worldwide structure of organized, institutionalized, Madison Avenue-ized Christianity nowadays, that people jumped on that boat for a long, long time. And even though many people saw it sinking, but they were still on that boat because there's this desire to know God, really know God. And you can't really reach out to find and really seek and grasp the living God until you are able to admit that you really don't have that place, that position, that relationship. So that, I mean, I look at this as just a major positive. The next step always looks like it's, you know, the worst thing, but it's the next step. And I think the important thing for us, I believe, to do is to anchor down on the fact that we are resting in the promise of household salvation. That wasn't a promise that I made or you made or anybody else made. It's a promise that God made because he's backing it up. And it doesn't matter what it looks like against that. It's still the truth, and it still stands, and it'll be standing when you and I are gone. It will still be standing, and that promise is still sure. And he is the author and the finisher of faith. He's the one that knows how to plant the seeds, how to water the seeds, how to bring it through that spirit through a person of total annihilation, and bring them through and raise them into the true reality of God. And I just think it's a very positive thing that you should be encouraged that God is definitely working in the process. What is her name, by the way?
Her name is Megan.
Megan.
Megan. Okay. Megan and Zachary.
Father, thank you for Megan. Thank you for your work that you are doing, Lord. Bringing them into the perfect place, Lord, the place, the secret place of the Lord Jesus, that you are stirring up that awareness that they are aching and lacking in some of the foundational areas of their life. They just don't have what they feel that they need in this time coming. Lord, we thank you for the time that we're in, this time of tribulation or building tribulation or whatever you want to call it, this thing of where you are separating the wheat from the chaff, and you're making it very, very clear to us, to everyone that has a heart and is looking to know you with their whole heart and mind and soul. And you're bringing that focus like a laser beam into people's hearts. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in Megan's life. We stand with you in agreement with Andrew that you are bringing forth that seed to fruition, and that she's able to see within herself the differences between what she desires and what she has. And so, Father, we thank you that you are bringing her through, bringing her husband through. And we just trust you, and we pray for them, Lord. We bind this spirit of Eastern mysticism, even though, Lord, you are even using that to draw her, to bring her into, I won't say bringing her, but you, it's an example that you are still drawing her in the spirit. But Lord, we know that that is a dead-end road. If you so choose to take her down that path, Lord, that you would quickly reveal the deception that is there. But Lord, we would pray right now that you would put that down, that you would destroy that before her, and you would bring it to her understanding and show her the deception way before she has to be involved in it. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your the work that you're doing in Andrew's life. We ask you to strengthen him, encourage him, give him your perspective for what is happening right now. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for being with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go ahead, Julie.
I want to add on a little bit to what Patrick is praying. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Andrew. I thank you for his family. Lord, we praise you and thank you in all things because that is the will of God. So we thank you for this trial that Andrew is facing now with his family. And we thank you, Father, that the words that Andrew has spoken to his daughter in being in church, the words that she's heard of the truth, Lord, that when she starts studying this Eastern spirit, Lord, that the fear of God will fall on her, that she is walking down a wrong path, and that she'll get revelations of this dark place that she's walking into, Lord, and that she won't want to go there. Lord, we don't know how you're going to do it, but we stand in faith with Andrew that this this new desire that she has, this new interest that she has, and the seeds that have been planted there will be uprooted and taken out now in Jesus' name. She's going to lose interest in this very, very quickly. And Lord, you're going to show her something else that she wants. And it will not bring that harm to her, Father, in Jesus' name. And I just bind up and cast off of Andrew all fear, worry, doubt, unbelief, anxiety, and stress about this in Jesus' name. That you will make yourself known unto him how you are a faithful father to him. That whatever he asks of you, Lord, you're going to do it. And we thank you, Lord, for giving bold faith and courage and strength. He can just rest in you. We thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. All right, Missy.
You know, you said, Andrew, that she said you preached to her or preached to them or whatever. Hello, go into all the world and preach the gospel, you know. that's what they always say. You're preaching to me, you know. Yeah. That's just, you know, it's like, that's what you're supposed to do. That's just their way of saying they don't want to hear it.
You know, I did say to her, you know, I might accidentally say praise God a few times in our conversations or thank God, you know, so I hope you will think badly of me as that, you know. And, you know, to break the ice, I actually mentioned something that she did really funny when she was a little girl. And she blamed it on the dog. So that was when she was really young. Then you can't blame her brother. But she got it right after that. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the Lord's put in us to tell everybody, mm-hmm. You know? I just got this urge to sing that song, Nobody.
Yeah, I got that one. I got that one.
Casting Crowns. I just love that song. We're just nobodies trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved our souls. Yeah. Right?
Right.
So, amen.
Be sure and read the chat there, Andrew. There's some stuff down there for you also. I didn't say you, Denny. I said Andrew. All right. I believe it's done. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request? Comment? Testimony? Praise report? Yeah, Claire.
I had my big moment yesterday.
Awesome.
Yes, with the worldly woman. And wow, like it was so faith building for me. I don't really even know. Like I could be baptized again. I was so excited by the end of it. But it really went really well. Like it was just, she just had these questions. And what was really amazing, and I don't say this to boast, I say it only to encourage. I had the word, like I had it. I had the word in me. It came out of my mouth. And I even had the Bible verses for the word. You know, like sometimes I think, oh, I don't know anything. And, or I think, yeah, I know it, but I don't know it like David. Like I can't just speak and say, oh, it's this, and then be confident. But that actually happened. And it was so exciting. And she was so excited at the end. And, the questions that she had, I can share. She said to me, why are we here? And without a flinch, I was like, to glorify God, you know? And it was just so great. And then she asked, she said, where does Satan fit in? And I was so grateful for our discussion in our hymns study or worship songs or whatever we did a few weeks back, where we actually spoke a little bit about Satan and we cleared up that portion. And I could, you know, speak on that with her. And I felt like I was so encouraged, I'm going to say, by Ken Ham's website, like the Answers in Genesis, because she kept on saying she has this scientific mind and she kept on saying, you know, things about science. And I just said to her, you have to stop thinking that it's science, because like God made science, he made it all. And it's not science that's the answer, it's your worldview. I said, there were amazing scientists that we've built our lives on from their discoveries, and they were Christians. Like that's the thing. I said, but you're looking at it, at your whole worldview is looking at it without God. Like you've been trained to look at the world without God. I said, I would like you to look at it with, like, from the perspective of God. Like, can you see that there is a life possible with God? And then she was just so I don't want to say excited, but she had this light in her, and she just said to me, you know, I'd like to do this more, but I guess you're really busy. Am I busy? Like, so I said to her, would you like to do this maybe once a week? And she's like, oh, I'd love that. Can I come with questions every week? I'm like, well, you can come with them. Like, we'll just, and oh, the other thing, I prayed before, because, yeah, like I just said to her, I'm going to pray before we start, because I don't want to say anything that's from Claire. I just want the Holy Spirit to work in me. And she was so happy. And, you know, she's reading her Bible every day. I bought her a children's Bible for her kids, and she reads that to them every day. So I know she doesn't have a regenerate mind yet, but the word of the Lord will not return void. Like, it won't. So she's reading, and it's so exciting. I'm so encouraged, and thank you for your prayers. They really did lift me up, and I continue to pray for her, and I was half expecting her to say, well, come, let's go down to the river, but, you know, it's winter, so we can wait a few months.
Amen. Wonderful testimony. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this lady in. It looks like she's already in to me. Go ahead, Theo or Lana.
We have a testimony and also a prayer request afterwards.
I went on a mommy date today with a couple of my friends who both have children. It's just slightly older than Theo and Max. And the topic of church came up because we all go to different churches, or we all used to go to the same church and we've kind of spread apart. And one thing led to another, and just me being me, and I'm also relying on the fact that the Lord has a plan in this as well. I started talking about how the current churches are very worldly looking and very religious, and they were very receptive of everything I shared. I shared with them about UBM's ministry and what I've learned, and they shared the things they run into at church that are not biblical, and I just encourage them to continue to explore all these things, because I said we should be focusing on the pure word of God. And anyways, what I thought would be like an hour-long date, mommy date at the park with the kids, turned into an almost three-hour-long mommy date with just me sharing and listening to their questions, and they were very receptive. And so I'm giving all the credit to God, and counting on Him to do the rest of the work in their hearts as they go home and share these things with their husbands, and come back with more questions if so. And so, Father God, I give Ala and Anna into your hands and their families. Bring them into your kingdom, Father God. They're already seeing issues in their own churches and their own lives. And I know that receptiveness, at least from what I've experienced in the beginning, is not always a sign that they'll come back for more. But Father God, I pray and trust that you are going to do a mighty work in their families and in their lives, and that you will continue to use me as a witness and sharing with them, and Theo as well, since he's their husband's best friends. And thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful testimonies. Sounds like people are changing. People are turning.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
One of these ladies' husband I've known for over 20 years, and he got some kind of spiritual possession, I guess you could call it, and tried to kill himself a couple times. And he's on medicine, which I guess fixed it. We know it's not fixed. It's just the demons are taking a break while the medicine does its job. Because as soon as he gets off of it, guess what comes back? The demons. So I hope one day that I can have the bold faith to call on God and command those spirits to get out of him, you know. And it's really hard seeing him like that. And I visit him at the hospital, and but I haven't seen him for a while, so hopefully we can cross paths again soon. But well, maybe that's another prayer request I have. But the other one is my aunt, my mom's sister in California. She's about 110 pounds now because her cancer is getting worse. And we're going to probably go see her this weekend. The family doesn't really believe in healing. They're a Christian family, but they just, our mom is sick, and you know, our mom is sick, and that's that. We've kind of accepted that probably gonna die, and so there's really no faith there for healing. And if y'all could pray for us and prepare the road so that we can drive there safely. It's about a 24-hour drive. Prepare her heart, prepare the way, and do an amazing work in that family, and show them that God's in control, and that by His stripes we were healed. Yep.
Okay, Fia, what's your aunt's name?
Natasha.
Well, why couldn't I guess that one?
It's a common one.
Yeah, Okay. Have they given her a short time to live, or is this just something that they're able to take care of, or what?
I have no idea how long they gave her, but she's been doing these trips to Mexico where it's like this all natural healing and diet change and all that kind of stuff. But obviously it's not working, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've found out over the years that when people are desperate, they'll cry out to God. So we're going to pray that and believe that when you get there, she's going to believe.
Amen.
She'll want to believe. Lord, we just lift up Natasha to you, Theo's aunt. We thank you, Lord, for taking her to that place where there's nothing left but you, Lord. I know it's not the way you like it, but that's the way it is a lot of times. And you, through your grace and your mercy, you reach out and touch them, and your glory just shines throughout that whole family when you do, Lord. We thank you, Father, for doing that for Natasha, that you prepare her heart and her spirit to receive you and trust you by the time that Theo gets there. When Theo and Lana get there, Lord, I ask that you prepare them, spiritually speaking, with the power from on high, that when they go in there and talk with your wisdom, Lord, to her, she'll receive it, and they'll be able to pray for her and bring her out of that in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for that. And Lord, I've got it down here. I'm going to be praying for them the whole way. And Father, we thank you for a glorious testimony by the time he gets back in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing this for Natasha and her husband and her family. That from the time that Theo and Lana get out there, from that point on, they're going to believe the word of God and not what man's told them that the word says. Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity. And we know you're going to open up the doors for them in Jesus' name.
Amen
and amen.
Thank you, Father. And Leon is going to come as well, and Mom.
Okay. Okay. That's a done deal. Go ahead, Greg. Did you have your hand up, Tim? Oh, okay, you do now. Go ahead, Greg.
All right. Well, there's a couple of things. Two of them are going to be really quick. One, you might remember Claudia, who was in here a couple of weeks ago, and she sent me a message, and I've been meaning to pass it on. So, because I said I would, so I'll be doing it now. She said after she went in, she said, "Thank you, Greg. I loved it. Not sure if we'll be here often, but please thank them for me. They're super kind."
Uh-oh. He froze up.
Got a new modem and a connection. But the third one, and this is the bigger one. Tracy, I've just had a couple of messages from Tracy. And I'll just read them out. She says, "We are in hell lately." She says, "My dog is barely holding on and my husband is freaking out." Okay. Am I still on?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I am. Okay, sorry about that. I know it cuts out. The second one was the modem that makes it that wouldn't cut out on me, Claire. sorry, let me just go back to Tracy's message. Her dog was recently diagnosed with having, it seemed like some sort of digestive tract blockage, but as it turns out, there's some sort of tumor, I think, in the spleen, they say. And anyway, she's saying the dog is barely holding on and my husband is freaking out. If you know anything about Tracy's home situation, I won't go into that anymore. Says he can't get up. I'm assuming she's talking about the dog. Won't eat, on constant painkillers. We've prayed and prayed. Nothing. For no other reason other than it's Tracy, I said, okay, we'll pick it up in UVM here too. Over.
Okay. Well, you got to have faith. Lord, we just thank you for that. for bringing that dog along in our faith. Doesn't sound like Jeremy wants to have faith for it, but has faith for it, but we do. And with Tracy, we believe that dog's going to be healed or has already been healed. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, that that dog is going to get up and be healed. In Jesus' name, that it'll be a testimony to Jeremy. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. What was the second one, Greg? We missed that one.
Oh, sorry. It's my, I have a.
I don't know if this was coming out or not. You froze up again, brother.
And it happened again, didn't it?
Yes, sir, it did.
Maybe you ought to call it the fourth one.
Good. Yeah, you've got it, Julie.
try to shut your video off and talk, see if that helps.
It might do. We shall see.
Okay.
I've been operating on a mobile modem for many, many months now, which has been fine, but it's not ideal. I decided this morning, well, you know, if I have not because I asked not, so I'm going to ask the Lord, okay, I need a modem and a hard line connection.
Amen. We believe with him, Lord.
Yep. There you go. That's it. Sorry. I've got my hands over my mouth.
Well, okay. Thank you, Lord, for giving Greg a good motive that he won't, his communications won't be dropping out on him in Jesus' name. We believe, Lord, that you're going to do that for him in the name of Jesus. Provide him, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay.
What was the second one, Greg?
That was it.
That was it.
Yeah, you come in good when you block your video when you're talking, then you can come back on with your video. But everything came through with the video when you stop your video feed.
Yeah, but you guys don't get to see me.
You can turn it back on now.
That's okay.
Well, here comes Claudia.
Yes, she just messaged me to say she was coming in.
Okay. All right, Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, I shared this locally last night, but Thursday you guys prayed for me because we had some stuff to do Friday and my ankle was excruciatingly painful and I couldn't walk. I really could not walk Thursday afternoon. I looked like a 100-year-old man doing the shuffle, and you know, it was like walking on eggshells, and my right ankle was just killing me. And you guys prayed, and we got started with our chore on Friday, and Michael and Leon laid hands on me and prayed again. I was able to move around a little bit better. But by Friday afternoon, I was going up and down stairs. It wasn't pretty, but I was going up and down stairs. Saturday morning, I was pretty much fine, except for muscle strain from overcompensating for whatever was going on in my ankle the last few days. Sunday, I was fine. I'm completely healed. Last night I can dance. I mean, there's nothing wrong. There's no residuals or nothing. And the Lord healed it because I've never had any kind of injury heal that fast, that completely and that quickly. And just praise the Lord for his healing for all of us.
Amen. Thank really you, Lord.
I hate being gimpy, so thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
I have a testimony kind of little thing, and then also prayer request. I don't know if anybody is aware of this, but here's my story. I went out walking today, and it was sunny out, but it wasn't sunny. That the sky, there wasn't a cloud in the sky, but there was this haze. And I'm like, what in the world is this? And you can see that in summer when it's real humid, there's a haze in the sky. And I'm like, what the world? So then later on this evening, after dinner, I walked in the room where Merle was, and I said, when you were out on your walk today, did you notice that the sky was like a haze or wasn't as cloud in the sky? He says, they were just talking about that on the TV. It's the smoke from California that's come the whole way across, and in New York City, you could barely even see the sun. And it's, he said they showed how the jet stream was, and it must got the way the jet stream is, went up over for us and went over to New York, and it's really bad there. So so I was like, oh wow, okay, I knew something was weird. So I'd like to pray about that. Father, I just ask you to clear this out of the sky. We ask you for your mercy and grace, clear it up supernaturally, Lord, and just protect all your people, all your elect, Lord, that it does not have an effect on them. I read something that it's not, a lot of places it's not down at the ground level, it's up in the jet stream. But Lord, we just ask you to just supernaturally take that out of the air, Lord, and not permit it to come down here where people are breathing. And we just claim that it has no effect on your elect. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. And then I shared this morning with the locals, but I had something really cool happen to me yesterday. I was out riding my bike on the rail trail, and you know, usually most of the time I'm riding my bike, you know, I'm praying in the spirit, and all of a sudden my friend who I used to work for, the last person I worked for in here, she came to my mind, and I had given her a sovereign God and a God's vaccine, and early on, like when, I don't remember anymore when it was, but early on, it might have been like maybe April or May, I don't know, after COVID started. I dropped it all. I put it in my bag and dropped it off at her door. And I had got talking to her, and she was pretty receptive. And I asked her if she would like me to drop them off. So I did. But anyway, so she came to my mind, and I started praying for her. She's come to my mind a couple times lately, you know. But she came to my mind, and I was praying for her, and I was there riding my bike, and then this thought came to me, you know, about that I'd see her on the trail, you know, and I thought, you know, I didn't. So then not long after that, I saw this woman. I looked up, and this woman passed by me, and it looked just like Carol. And what really stood out to me was her lips, because she has these thick, full lips, you know, and that just really, she might have had some residue of lipstick on or something, I don't know, but her lips just really, that's what really caught me. And so I was like, was that Carol? You know, and part of me was gonna, you know, part of me, you know, was thinking, you know, to turn around and go, but I didn't feel really compelled to do that, you know, turn around and go, you know, chase after her, see if it really was her. Because I know in the past, like when I was tempted to pass a situation up and the Lord kept saying, go and talk to that person, go talk to that person, he wouldn't leave me alone. I knew I had to go do that. I didn't feel that way this time. But anyway, so as soon as it was only like I was almost done with my ride, so I got back to my to Rav, and I texted her right away, and I asked her if she was on the trail around 4 o'clock. And I'd say maybe an hour later or half hour later, so I don't remember. I got this text. She says, yes, were you there? And I said, yeah. And I said, we got to talk, you know. So I realized that the Lord had given me a word of knowledge, you know. And she was supposed to text me today, and she hasn't yet. And I'm guessing maybe she's not gonna, you know. But anyway, I don't, So I'd like to pray for her. Lord, you know where she's at. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you're working in her, Lord, and drawing her to really run after you and make time for you, and that her life be not so busy, and she has her own business, Lord, and I pray that she has sold her business, Lord, that she isn't so caught up with the cares and all these things of the world, and that she feels like, you know, she can relax and have time with you and really get to know you and be in your word and just grow in you, grow up in you quickly, Lord. And Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for good fellowship and talk to her when I do get to talk to her, Lord. And that we get to talk more often and maybe even visit with each other too. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bring them in, Lord. Bring them all in. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Denny. You're going to have to unmute, brother.
Get out of there. There it is. Okay. So, sorry. Just giving an update on Jonah. It's our daughter, Victory, 7-year-old, who was in the hospital. They thought he had a stroke, and he has a shunt and all that. So anyway, over the last several days and that, they had a team of doctors, and they really couldn't tell whether he had a stroke or it was a seizure, or whether it was related to the shunt that he has that drains the cranial fluid out of his area and down into his stomach, because he had a cyst grow over right where the drain is up in his cranial area. So they had to put a shunt in anyway, but so we kind of didn't know where, just praying from day, you know, day to day and everything. And Michael had a vision on, I think it was last Friday night in our meeting, of an angel. There was an angel standing at Jonah's like bedside, and with his hand on his head, like, and Jonah had there was a bright light, and he was smiling, had a great smile, and there was another angel, I think, on each side of him, and it was just you know, we just knew that God was doing something. Well, all of a sudden, in the therapy and that, he started moving his left arm and his left leg, which he couldn't move at all. And he started moving that. And so where it is now, that's been several days, and he's improving, you know, tremendously. His spirits are coming, you know, he's just getting back to be his own self again. And they're going to put the shunt back in tomorrow. A new shunt, they had to replace it, and then they're talking about therapy, which they thought he might need 4 to 6 weeks of therapy, but Victory would not be able to get him to that place. It's too far away, and she has no vehicle, and she has two other children, and so we're praying that he wouldn't need any therapy whatsoever. In fact, we're praying that God would really touch him and where that shunt, you know, that he wouldn't need that shunt anymore, that cyst that was growing there would just be dissolved. So that's what we're praying for him. But he's greatly improved, and you know, and God is, I know he does have his angels there. So Father, we lift up Jonah right now. Father, we command that healing, complete healing for Jonah, and the effects that it had on his body and his left side would be completely restored, that he would not need therapy, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that cyst where the drainage starts would be just dissolve and disappear. And we're praying for a miracle, that they would go in tomorrow and that wouldn't have to put that shunt in even. Join us in prayer and believing for a miracle here. So for Jonah, it's just a nuisance to have that thing all the time, you know, and he can't do a lot of things. You got to protect him if he gets hit with a ball or something in the head right in that area. It's going to be dangerous for him. And you know, so thank you, Father. Amen, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that Jonah's completely healed.
Yes, he's healed.
In the name of Jesus. Yeah, that boy had a bright light around his face there. And he had the sweetest smile on his face in that vision. And there was an angel at the head of the bed and that was looking down at him. And then the next portion of that vision, the angel had moved to one side and another angel had showed up on the other side. There was one on both sides of him. Praise God.
Thank you,
I believe that shunt, that shunt's not going to be needed.
Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen, God.
That boy's going to have a complete recovery.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, he's going to be just fine.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. God. I believe it. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Well, did everybody get the message that I sent out late, actually this morning? Well, praise the Lord. We were going to talk about oneness, Trinity, or the truth tonight. And David had a good teaching on it. Actually, he's got two teachings on site, Claire. Showed me that, and I didn't know it. I thought he only had one, and which is awesome. Thank you, Lord. I think what that one she's talking about was from 97, and then there's another one that I know about that was from 2004, I believe. Okay, we're going to open up the forum here. It's from 97. Yeah, what's it called, Claire?
Oh gosh, I don't know what they're called. Like I've been listening to this I've been listening to one of these teachings for a long time, and then I think Julie pointed me in the direction of another series. So I'd been listening to a one-hour talk. I don't know what it was, but it was on David's website, and then Julie showed me a three-part series.
Yeah.
So altogether, there's actually four audios that you can listen to. I've now listened to one of them many, many times, and the others I've just listened to the past weekend.
Yeah.
Amazing.
The one that's on site that I know about is called Oneness, Trinity, or the Truth. And it's on the miscellaneous site, and it's over on the far right-hand side, that group that's in alphabetical order over there. And you can scroll down to the O's, and you'll see it. All right. What do we want to talk about first? Who wants to start this out? Yeah, Julie, go ahead. I see you pointing at yourself. You can do that.
Put me on the spot. Well, I found the one that Claire was referring to, and so I put the link in the chat there. And then the other ones is three parts, which is on what you just described in the miscellaneous. Trinity, oneness. I never knew what the oneness was. I never knew that there was such a doctrine. However, I can see by reading some of the verses where people might think that based on, you know, I pray that, you know, they be one as we are one, the oneness thing. I didn't understand the whole concept or doctrine of it at all.
Well, let's talk about what oneness is first.
I don't know. I'm not the right person to tell you what it is.
Well, I can tell you what it is. Oneness believes that Jesus, the Son, and Jesus, the Father, are the same, one in the same person. There's no two different people. There's only one. That, and I, you know, this is a stretch, but that, this is what they believe, that when Jesus came into the flesh, but that was the Father that came in the flesh here on earth to minister to his people. And of course, there's a lot of scriptures that really teach against that. But anyway, that's what they believe. They believe that Jesus and the Father are one. There's no such thing as two people in the Godhead. And of course, I think everybody knows what the Trinity is. The Trinity is God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three persons with equal to each other. That's what it is. There's three persons. And Missy's wanting to say something. Go ahead.
Sue will know this saying. What we came out of, they believe it or not, they believed Trinity and oneness.
How does that work?
Don't even ask me. I don't even want to. But they had this saying that Jesus is the process consummated triune God.
He's the what?
In other words, Jesus is the process consummated triune God. So that's their way of.
Is that even a sentence? Is that even a sentence? Jesus is the processed. Is that what you said?
Processed, consummated, triune God.
Consummated, triune God.
So that's their way of. It just hit me.
Come on, get it out, girl.
This high-minded terminology. You know, we have this terminology that, you know, it's pride. It's pride. We have this terminology. We know what we know. Oh, it's horrible.
It sounds like oneness.
That's what it's all about. It just hit me that they put the two. They have that saying that puts the two together, and what it means is beyond me. How that connects the two, I don't. They just say that Jesus went through a process and death, resurrection, and I can't even explain it anymore because it's. Because to try and explain it would understand it, and I don't even want to go there. it's just confusion.
Yeah.
Well, they do that so that they can
intimidate.
People would think that they know something. You know, they use big words and things like that to do that.
To draw people to themselves.
What they're saying is oneness is what it sounds like. I know these big words. There ain't nothing to me, man. I know all them big words.
Basically, using that word triune is the same thing as Trinity.
Well, where'd that fit in?
The saying is Jesus is the process consummated triune God. Get it?
Okay. Where's Paula? She's the writer. What'd she say?
I'm done.
I can tell. Okay, well, that's another way of thinking about it, I guess. But anyway, that's where we are. Does anybody want to tackle the oneness? Go ahead, Claire.
So I think what I can share from learning this, I think I was exposed to a teaching very early on in my walk that's by a man called R.T. Kendall. And I don't really know who he is, except that he gets buildings filled. And I've learned that that's dangerous. But he did this teaching once in South Africa where he said that the Holy Spirit, obviously believed in the Trinity, but he said that the Holy Spirit would descend on you like a dove if you were peaceful. And then as long as you were peaceful, it would stay. And then if you got angry at your kids or you did, you know, something happened, then it would leave. And so I have been living in that. I realized that only after, like last night when we finished the fourth teaching. And Rian said, oh, so R.T. Kendall was lying. And I mean, we didn't follow the guy. We never researched him, but it just like, and I've read so much about the Holy Spirit and I can see how much the Holy Spirit has worked in my life. But that false teaching put in me this idea that every time I sin, literally the Holy Spirit leaves me. Like it's gone. It's unattainable. Like I've got to go through everything again, which is it's a very Catholic mentality because it's just putting you under condemnation. And I am so freed now knowing, yeah, I'm not supposed to sin, duh, but the grace is so much bigger. And the law, it's not some separate thing. It is actually the Spirit of God. And when you have the Spirit of God in you, like that's another thing that wasn't taught, that it's taught that it's some other thing. Like God is God, Jesus is Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit, well, we don't know because we can't see him, which is such trash, because it is the Spirit of God. So if the Spirit of God is living in me, you know, it's in, like, how can that all of a sudden go? And the Spirit of Jesus is what is being regenerated through the power of the Spirit of God. And if I let the Spirit of God work in my life by resting, then Jesus can grow in me and I can be more Christ-like. I mean, isn't that a lot more exciting and a lot more empowering and a lot more attainable than this idea that, oh, she blew up again, Holy Spirit's gone. Like, how does that even... So I'm just grateful for David yet again, and I'm grateful for the truth he's given him, and I'm grateful that the Lord has niggled this in me for about 7 years so that I could just get rid of that. And I really pray for R.T. Kendall. I don't even know if he's still alive, but we can pray for him anyway, because God is outside of space and time, which they also don't teach. Because that man was just teaching the wrong thing and leading a lot of people astray. So Father, we know you are outside of space and time, and people like R.T. Kendall and others, which is most of the church, Lord, can you lift those bonds of sin for a moment for them to get the revelation that they're supposed to get, and let the people who are sitting in those pews get that revelation so that they can leave, Father, and they can be part of the called out ones. Thank you, Father. It's not about us being right, Lord. It's about us sacrificing ourselves so that we can manifest Christ. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh my, yeah, I know. Well, think about this, all the churches that believe in the Trinity is in the same class that this guy you're talking about is. But it's not going to send them to hell, you know. It just keeps them in bondage. Same way with the oneness. I remember David's testimony about being prayed for when he came to the revelation of just opening his mind to the Word of God and forget about the oneness, and how that spirit left him, you know, that religious spirit left him. Oh, my Lord, we're going to pray for Greg. Thank you, Lord, for this brother. Go ahead, Greg.
Sorry, there's something wrong with me, I think. Sorry, I just wanted to... Sorry.
Go for it, Greg. Uh-oh, he must have
froze up. Because he mentioned the Trinity. I'm still on. Sorry, when this subject was raised, I thought, hang on a sec, you can't touch the Trinity. And this was inside of me, right? And I thought, well, hang on a sec. You know, because when I first became a believer, and that's, you know, kind of appropriate, that you kind of accept what the people who are discipling you have, you know, because you don't have anything else. But I never, ever, ever sort of examined it. And I listened to the three teachings, but thank you for the fourth one there that you brought up, and I'll have a look at that or listen to that a bit later on. But yeah, I think David did a really good job of not slaying the sacred calf, but just gently getting it to sit down and sit in the corner. So yes, you know, my view has expanded or changed it somewhat on all this anyway. So, and thank you for that, Claire, by the way.
Amen. Oh, my. Repentance, Julie says. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I'll go off into a corner now.
There is something interesting that kind of shows somewhat of an idea what the Trinity doctrine does teach. It's called the shield of the Trinity. If you look it up, it's an image, and it'll show you exactly kind of how they fit the Trinity into their into the doctrine, which is, if you look at it, you think, oh, okay. It does look very strange when you look at it, because, you know, whenever they can put a formula on something, you can see it. So I don't know if anybody's seen this shield. It's kind of interesting. It's
the shield of the Trinity, is that what you call it?
Shield of the Trinity. If you look that up, you'll see an image. The diagram.
Oh, Christian, yeah.
Christian symbol, which is very good.
What is that?
It shows the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit on the outside. It shows lines drawn to each one, like Father, a line kind of like to the Son, but it says the Father and the Son between the two of them. The Father is not the Son, and the Holy Spirit is not the Son. It says the Father is not the Holy Spirit, but then has lines drawn from those three circles going into God. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. They're showing you that the three individuals are not a part of each other in any way, but they're showing all together are God.
Let me see if I can show it up here. Can y'all see that?
We could probably share the screen or something.
Yeah, I can do that, but I'm on. Can y'all see it?
That's a very good depiction of what they believe, what the doctrine says.
Yeah.
By them doing that, they're ignoring some scriptures, especially between the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Father is not the Holy Spirit, but we know in the scripture it says the Holy Spirit is God the Father's Spirit. It says that in John.
Yep.
And so already that you have to take that whole leg off the Trinity and say, oh, that don't work.
I mean, that's the sacred doctrine to a lot of the evangelicals.
They aren't really examining what it's taught and what the Bible says. They're just believing what they were told. And
well, it's a Catholic doctrine. It came out of the Catholic Church.
Yes. 300 years after the apostles were on the scene.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Missy.
Go ahead, Missy.
Doesn't the Apostles' Creed include the doctrine of Trinity in it?
I'm not sure. I don't know a whole lot about that. I've heard of it, but I never have cared much looking at it myself. I don't know. Somebody else may know.
Greg said it does.
Oh, okay.
And that's something else. It's all, you got these creeds or whatever they're called. They're people, the things that they say, reaffirm their faith, that drives it home all the time, that keeps on plugging in these beliefs, but they're not based on scripture. Not everything.
Oh my, I'm looking at the chat and I'm laughing at Claire and Greg's going back and forth. Claire's not teaching. Greg said, oh, thanks for learning this. And Greg said, Claire started it. Okay. Throwing blame, casting blame here. All right. Nobody's teaching, and we're all learning. So your testimony, wasn't it, Claire?
I think that's one of the beauties about coming together as a body of Christ. You can all be disciples. When you're a disciple, there's nothing limited in the body that you can't work with here together. You know, there's no restriction on being a disciple. You're not taking on a title. You're working in that realm of where everybody's coming into the image of Christ.
Amen. Okay, I guess so. It was the woman. Oh, praise the Lord. You're learning quick. My gracious sakes alive. Okay. Greg, please hush. I can't get nothing done. He says he's going back to his corner to repent, I guess. Oh, my. Help me, Jesus. Pat, you got a frown on your face, brother. Quit that. There you go. All right. Anybody else on the Trinity or oneness or the truth? What's the truth then? If we know what Trinity and the oneness is, what's the truth, Denny? Denny? You unmuted. I figured you was going to give us the answer.
Oh, no. No, I'm sorry. I knew I, you know, grew up in the Catholic Church, so that was a Trinity, and you just believed it. After I got saved in the church we were in, one of the brothers was teaching, and, you know, it wasn't Trinity. It was his approach was it was the Godhead, but not Trinity. And you really, there's so many scriptures on the subject, and you really have to look at them all and really, you know, it takes some real meditation and pondering and seeking the Lord to really understand what God is saying. But if you leave some of them out, that's how they come up with the Trinity, and they don't use all the scriptures. Like David said, if you find one or some scriptures that are against what you're teaching, well, then, you know, then you don't have it. You know, you got to have to have the sum of all of it. And there really is so many scriptures, but it's one of those lifelong things of, you know, pursuing it.
Judas says, explain the Godhead.
Explain the Godhead. Well, we know God manifested himself as a father to us. Of course, we're all familiar with Jesus being the Son. But then he goes on to also manifest himself as the Holy Spirit. You know, and so you could see how they would want to think three persons, but when you search the scriptures, it's not that way. Jesus came forth out of the Father. That word, that ekperonia that David talks about, he came forth out of, and he was in the bosom of the Father. So we know the Father and had a Son before creation, and that through the Son he created everything. And but when Jesus said that the Holy Spirit came forth out of the Father also, and that's in a couple of places he says that he came, the same word, that ekperonia, he comes forth out of the Father. And this is just my understanding, as I'm understanding it, you know, Jesus had a spirit and a soul and a body, and you know, God sent him to redeem us, and he did, and he obeyed, and then death, burial, resurrection, ascension, back up, he went back to, you know, to pay that price, and then he was glorified in the Father's glory, the glory that he had with the Father before the world was. And that qualified him for something, that he could come back again in spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit actually is this, I've always taken it, learned anyway, that I thought it was the Spirit of the Son glorified in the Father's glory. And in one place, Jesus said that he would send back the Holy Spirit. Another place, he says the Father would send the Holy Spirit. And so you wonder, well, which is it? Are they both right? Or, you know, but he had to be glorified so that he, you know, humanity in that sense was glorified. His spirit, soul, and body were glorified. And that qualified him then. It says that he was made both Lord and Christ. He was made both Father and Spirit, you know, in that sense. And so it's the Spirit of the Son and the Father glorified that is the Holy Spirit. And in John 7:39, when they talked about the Holy Spirit couldn't come, it says it was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Well, that word given isn't in there. It's really the Holy Spirit was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. In other words, he was not yet as the Comforter until after he was glorified. Then he could come back, and the Father invested everything in the Son, you know, and then all of redemption and all of the authority we have and conquering everything has all been invested in the Son, and then the Son's going to give it back over to the Father, you know, in the end. But so I don't know. So how do you explain the Godhead? Good question, Judy. It's but I see the Trinity teaching robs Jesus of his rightful glory because they want to throw it off onto a third person. But the rightful glory, it says in 1 John, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Why didn't they mention the Holy Spirit there? It's like, so you got to put all those scriptures together. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. It's with divinity and humanity, but it's glorified humanity because he was glorified in the Father's glory. You know, he entered back into the glory, it says in John 17, it's the glory he had with the Father before the world was. And then he was made both Lord and Christ, and he was made a life-giving spirit. Jesus was made a spirit, you know, it's his spirit in union with the Father's spirit that is the Holy Spirit. So it's that's the way I'm still asking God, what, you know.
It's confusing because I was thinking it was in kind of conjunction as the whole Trinity teaching kind of thing, that it was the Godhead three in one. You know, and the Godhead three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit kind of thing. So I think there is a difference, and Greg just put something in the chat. The divine. Anyway, Is the Godhead in the Bible? Is that word in the Bible?
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. What's the scripture?
It's in Acts.
Colossians 2:9 maybe, and 1:9. I think there's a couple places in Colossians that in...
Colossians 4, I think, isn't it?
Is it?
Three places. Let's have it, Greg.
It's in Colossians 2:9.
2:9.
Is one of them.
It's also in Romans 1. Okay.
Oh, Greg's got it up, Acts 17:20, Romans 1:2, and Colossians 2:9. Okay. And that word means divine or divinity?
From what a cursory look, I had it, you know, just Strong's in my eSword, which is on another computer, so I can't really cut and paste here. But, it's... It seems to all root back to one word, but the word is kind of a weird one. But it seems to be referring to, you know, when I say the divine, I mean the divine. That conglomeracy or whatever you want to call it of you know, God. But yeah, Godhead obviously seems to fit there, you know, the description. But
it looks like it came out of what Paul wrote, but I'm wondering if there's something to do with also the theology there behind with the Hebrew too, the Jewish religion, understanding divinity, you know. So I'm not sure where the word gets its origin, if it has an origin.
I might have a search of the etymology of Godhead, actually.
From the lore, I'm sure, somewhere, you know, but it's just how he...
Well, quite possibly. I mean, in the Shema, you know, it says, God is one, or, you know, in Hebrew that word is Ekat. And my understanding of that, and don't take me as a scholar in this in any way, but it means a sports team might play as one.
It kind of goes back into the name of God.
Goes back to what, Dave?
Like the name of God. It's because it's divinity, it goes back into all that God is when it's talking about divinity, the name.
Okay, go ahead, Sue, Judy, or Gano.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, y'all talking about the God the Father and God the Son, and I was thinking Isaiah 9. I would like to read it. Isaiah 9, starting at I lost it. There you go. Okay. Where he's saying, okay, 5 or 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. You know, I was thinking that, you know, he's saying he's Eternal Father. How do you put, it looks like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are right there, because in one sense, because I'm just trying to figure this out myself. But it says Counselor, and I remember Jesus said that when I go, I will send for, well, he said Comforter, but he was like the Counselor too. The Holy Spirit's like our Counselor. He helps us to gives them understanding and stuff. So how do you explain that?
That's explain, my explain what now? What's the question, I guess?
The question is, how do you explain that he is the father and he is the counselor as well as Prince of Peace and you know, he's the government, you know, he's the government shall rest on his shoulders. I mean, I understand that, but it's like, I think people use that scripture a lot to say that's the Trinity. Because he's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How do you explain this? I don't know. I'm just asking. Yeah.
Go ahead, Missy.
Well, if I remember correctly, David said that where it says everlasting Father, it should actually be Father of Eternity, in that Jesus is not that he's the Father, because that's what I was always told too, that that scripture was used to prove the oneness, as well as the ones where it says, where Jesus says, the Father's in me and I am in him and blah, 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 you know. But Jesus is the Father of eternity in the respect of we have eternal salvation because of him. Mm-hmm. I think is basically the something to that effect that David has said.
Amen. All right, Leah.
I'd say he can't be the Father because in 1 Corinthians 15, about verse 28, he gives the kingdom back to the Father and submits himself to the Father. So how can one be a father and submit yourself to a father? You know, if you're that father already. So, you know, okay. That don't make sense to me.
Yeah. It's a language referring to his ability to give us eternal life. Because that life was given to the Son, but he's going to be our father for eternal life, Jesus in that sense, fathering us into eternal life. Because that life was given only to him, he's giving that to us through the reconciliation. That's how he becomes our Father.
Well, Jesus is called our Father.
The Father, he's given us eternal life. That it's like being able to, the genesis of where the eternal life came from through him. Even the Father gave him life, but his life came through Jesus to us. So that's why he's considered to be a Father of eternity. For us. Not for the Father, but for us.
But he's not the Father.
He's not the Father. It's just a symbolic language of...
Right. He's our Father.
Yeah, given to us.
Father of our salvation, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
But, okay.
Go ahead, Julie.
Well, you guys just kind of said what I was going to add to, but, you know, Jesus didn't count himself at equality with God. He said he humbled himself and became as we are, and he always did everything he did was to glorify the Father. It wasn't about him, and he always considered the Father greater. He said the Father is greater than I, and he also referred to that this is he always separated himself from the Father, but yet, you know, but at the same time, they were one. Like he said, that this is, I can't remember where it is, it's in John somewhere, but this is eternal life, that they shall know him, they shall know God. This is eternal life, that they shall know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, his Son, is eternal life. And that's actually, you know, that's knowing him. So it's two different people, but just the whole Trinity thing, just, you know, when you really study it for yourself and just not, you know, it is very clear that it's not a triune God. It's not the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit equal. It's just a really good teaching, and it's one that needs to be addressed, you know, like we did, because there's just a lot of truths there, and helping other people one day to understand what it is and what it's not. That it's kind of like trying to tell somebody the rapture's, you know, not before the tribulation. You know, you got to be able to. There's nowhere in the Bible does it say the rapture. You know, it's getting caught up to the throne. It's just how people have twisted it and perverted the truth and made their own doctrines. And, you know, we just believe things until we learn, you know, and then we repent of what we thought we knew and praise God, you know, just keep going on.
Amen. Yeah, Pat.
Well, I will chime in. Unfortunately, I haven't listened to the teachings, and the whole concept of oneness and Trinity, I haven't really considered it myself. I mean, I haven't really thought about it. Haven't dug into it probably the way I need to. So I'm speaking kind of in a vacuum. But are you saying that the Trinity is that there is not a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit? Or are you saying that they are not equal? So that would be a question that I'm assuming is addressed in David's teaching on the subject, correct? Okay.
Yeah. So, well, Jesus himself said, I'm not, you know, my Father's greater than I am. And when he says that just shoots the Trinity out of the water.
What meaning it what do you mean it shoots the Trinity
co-eternal?
Oh,
whatever that other word.
In other words, it's the equality that is that.
Well, not only that, they also say that the Holy Spirit is a person, and when it's not, it clearly says it's a spirit. It's a spirit of God the Father and Jesus that we. Jesus was created. Yeah, like Julie said, Jesus was created. He was the first of the creation. Co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent. Yeah. But here's something for you. If the Spirit was a person, and you could see the Spirit as omnipresent, David makes real good use of this. He said if he was omnipresent, you couldn't see anything else. Because he's everywhere, the Holy Spirit is. And so that kind of shoots that out of the water. He's not a person. Yeah, dude.
But he's a spirit, and you can't see the spirit. You just can't see him. He's spirit.
Is he an entity of his own? I mean, as his own?
He is. He's the Holy Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of God. You have to listen to the teaching, Patrick. David teaches it really well. But the Spirit is in, he was in Jesus. And Jesus had his own Spirit. And just as we have
So the Holy Spirit is separate than our spirits, correct?
Right. We each have a spirit, and then we have a born again spirit when we get saved, and Christ lives in us, and then we receive the Holy Spirit from God, because God, the Father, he said he would send the Spirit to us, and the teacher, he'll teach us all things. He is the Holy Spirit. His job in us is to create Christ in us and to make us holy as he is holy. So he's the power. I mean, he's power. He's I'm not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love.
What is it that believing that the Holy Spirit is his own entity or personage, shall we say, what is it about that that is the deception or leads us into sin, or what is the result of that? The consequence.
It's not going to send you to hell if that's what you're asking, to believe in the Trinity.
No, I'm not asking that. I'm saying, what is the consequences of believing that he is a person, I mean a separate entity, or the difference between that and believing that he is the Spirit of the Father?
I think
that you're scripturally wrong is all.
Yeah. This is a revelation, well, I think, that we have.
There's got to be a consequence of some sort, right?
Well, it's a deception that's out there. It's just a deception. But God gives us the revelation, you know, when we see it and you see it in the scriptures, you agree that it's true, and you're the Spirit in you says this is true. There's not a Trinity. What something that Claire said a few weeks ago when we were talking about music is, you know, that people, you know, sing songs and praise God and pray to the Holy Spirit and they make up these songs and stuff and about, you know, the triune God and stuff. And it's just a misleading thing, you know, and we are so prone to wander and get misled in things. It's, you know, what else have I been taught in the church that's not correct? That's how I was thinking about things too.
Well, and I agree with what you're saying. I guess my question is, if you don't know what the erroneous consequences are of having that belief, sometimes it's hard to recognize that you have the erroneous belief, you know, because sometimes the consequences of our believing something usually ends up in a result that is anti-Christ. That's a little bit, well, whatever. It's anti-God. It's you know, there's a consequence there. So
go ahead. Let's see what Dave has to say. Dave, you had your hand up.
Dave?
Yeah. Basically, you have to go by what the scriptures are kind of telling you about God. You can't go by what you believe. It's going to have to go based on what the scriptures say. If we go to, I had it up here a minute ago, let's see if I can find it. It's going to be in Romans 8, gives you an idea, but we're talking about a little bit about the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. It says, Romans 8 says, there are those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if it is so that the Spirit of God dwells in you. They're saying you're not going to be in the flesh if the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he has none of his. We just talked about two spirits here, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. Now, the Trinity talks about one Spirit, period, the Holy Spirit. And it says there's a Father, Son, and a Holy Spirit. We just said Christ has a Spirit. And there's two spirits there that are in you, Christ's Spirit and God's Spirit. No. How can that be a Trinity? There is no longer a Trinity. There's two separate spirits. So we have to understand how that works in your life. You have two spirits. We know people can be born again. They have Christ's Spirit. But to be born again completely and born again and have the manifestation of God in you, you have to have God's Spirit too. It's just reaffirming that. You have two spirits. You don't have one. You have two. Now, the Trinity says there's just one Holy Spirit, and then there's the Father and the Son. We just learn here there's a Spirit of Christ and a Spirit of God. Well, who is the Spirit of God?
It's God's Spirit.
Well, who is that?
God's Spirit.
That's the Holy Spirit.
No.
That's the Holy Spirit.
God's Spirit is the Holy Spirit.
Correct. That's what I said.
And I don't, the only way that a man can have the Holy Spirit is through the sacrifice of Jesus. Because the Son is one with the Father of the same Spirit. And he wants us to be part of the same spirit. The same spirit goes through all of us. But the only way the Holy Spirit can could have come into us is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then we are part of that spirit. We have our own spirit as our own person, but that's not the Holy Spirit. There's only one spirit, the same spirit that's in the Father, that's in the Son, is in the Father, and in the believer.
Well, we have our own spirit.
Exactly.
Did Jesus
have our own essence.
Jesus had his own spirit too, right?
Exactly.
So there's, we're
the
all
Holy Spirit own. Unites us. The Holy Spirit of the Father unites us, makes us.
Correct. Correct. And I'm not arguing with that. But I'm just saying the Holy Spirit is not the same as Christ's spirit. Even though there's a unity.
Your spirit's not the same as mine either.
Correct. Your
not the same as mine. Jesus has his personality.
Now, we're not trying to argue about what's wrong or right here. We're just saying this is the truth. Right?
So is the Holy Spirit his own entity?
No, the Holy Spirit came from the Father.
The Father's spirit.
If we go into John chapter 15, he proceeds forth from the Father.
Exactly, the Holy Spirit.
Just like Jesus came forth from the Father. Jesus.
Okay, we're about out of time here.
So
we're about out of time here. Yeah. I would suggest that every one of us read the scriptures that David gives out in those teachings, because there seems to be a little bit of misinterpretation here of some stuff, and what we need to do is to come back and explain. When you say something, give scripture for it. And when we give scripture for it, that way there won't be any not argument so much as disagreement,
right,
as to what's what. So let's do that.
Michael,
this is good. This is a good discussion, and it's not a bad thing. It's good discussion because it brings out what we need to do, and that is go get the scriptures to back up what you say.
Michael?
Mm-hmm.
When Mary was conceived, the Holy Spirit came on her, and then she had the seed of God. Doesn't that say that the Holy Spirit is God?
The Holy Spirit comes from God, yes.
I mean, doesn't that say that the Holy Spirit is God?
It comes from God.
God's Spirit.
It's God's Spirit. It's God the Father's
God's
Spirit.
Yeah. That's what so that seed was God's seed.
Yes.
So God is the Holy
Spirit.
She came from
man also.
Right, right.
We're going to get into that portion of it when we get into Pat's discussion on whether Jesus was born with a sin nature or not. But we'll have to wait until next week to do that, looks like, because this is going to take us into Thursday night, and it looks like it's going to be a good discussion. So let's do that. Let's listen to these teachings and write down what was raised tonight, and back up what you say with scripture. We can't just arbitrarily say this is what this is and this is what that is. And believe it, that's what the apostate people do. And I know that everybody wants, to believe things, but let's just do what the scripture says, and that way I won't get mixed up. Amen. Okay. Has anybody got any prayer requests before we close out tonight? It's been good. A little slow start, but that's okay.
I think Kathleen, you have your hand up.
Yeah, Kathleen. Did you have your hand up?
No. I was just...
Okay. All right. Anybody got a prayer request before we... Yeah, Pat. You just muted yourself.
well, there might be another message in that. I just want the Lord to continue blessing my family, my understanding, and I didn't have time to speak about a couple things tonight. But I'd like to thank the Lord for opening up some doors and opening up some understanding of faith and walking in it. So I just ask the Lord, would like to have the Lord just continue on in that vein, and I'm definitely seeing some movement. So that was it.
Amen. Amen. I believe we thank you, Lord, also that I'll be a blessing to Blake when I go get him this weekend. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for being with me to give me wisdom and words to say that'll affect him in a mighty way. Father, you know what has to be, what needs to be said in a way that he'll listen, and not what I want to say, but I want you to be talking with me, talking through me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we just ask that everybody has a good night's sleep tonight. We're going to get into this word Thursday night, and it's going to be awesome. By the way, I'll be from that natural state called Arkansas when I come in Thursday night. Razorback country. Oh, my. All right. Good night, y'all. Bless you.